Good to be here in your new surroundings, which are looking good, and I feel quite honoured, actually, to be your first speaker. Now, I had some mind for the meeting here, and I was told in the middle of the week that this is your first time you'll be back, so I did change things a little bit, so I hope that what we say will be a blessing to us all. Now, we're going to read a very familiar chapter, the last chapter of the Gospel of John. We'll take time to read the whole chapter. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, that's the Sea of Galilee, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered, No. And he said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said to them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these?" And he said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he said unto him, "Feed my sheep." And he said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" And Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, "He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, and which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. When I came to Aberdeen as a student in the 1950s, the late E.W. Rogers used to come here reasonably regularly, and I used to love to hear him speaking. He spoke once on the subject of the resurrection, and he made a statement which I've never forgotten. He said this: "The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is one of the best attested facts of history. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is one of the best attested facts of history." And this chapter gives us some of those attested facts. In verse 14, we are told that this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. And on this occasion, the Lord's main reason for meeting his disciples, I think, were two things. Number one, he wanted them to be in no doubt at all that he was the same person that they knew before his death. And he also wanted to encourage and equip them for the great work that they had to do in service and witness for him. And it's these two things we're going to think about and try and draw some simple lessons from the chapter. Verse 1 says this, that after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples. Now, this does not mean that the Lord Jesus just made another physical appearance. It doesn't mean that. It really means something much more significant. It means that he revealed himself to his disciples. He manifested himself to his disciples. He showed his disciples who he truly was. One of the things that I find interesting is that when the Lord Jesus rose, he met many of his own, and they didn't really recognize him. When they saw him initially, they did not recognize him. For example, Mary Magdalene, remember? She saw him, but she didn't recognize who he was. And it was only when he said, Mary, she recognized that voice. Only the Lord could have addressed her as Mary. And the disciples did not appear to recognize him when he first appeared to them. And it was only when he showed them his hands and his side that they recognized who he was. And we read this, that then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And again, in this chapter, the disciples did not recognize the Lord on the shore. They knew not. Verse 4, it says, they knew not that it was Jesus. But the Lord was going to demonstrate that he was the same person as they knew before he went to the cross. And many of the things that the Lord did in this chapter was going to remind them of events that occurred in the past when he was with them. And they would be in no doubt at all that the person that appeared to them was the Lord Jesus. The events in this chapter, they obviously occur by the Lake of Galilee. It was here that he first called the fishermen. Remember when he called his disciples who were fishermen? And he said to them, follow me. And here the Lord performed one of his great miracles, the great catch of fish that the fishermen had in earlier days. And it's little wonder that John said to Peter, when they got this huge catch of fish, he said just a few words, it is the Lord. Nobody but he could have performed a miracle like this. But even more, when the disciples came ashore, the Lord already had a fire there, and he already had fish there, and he already had bread there. And this must have reminded them of the time when he fed the multitudes with fish and with bread. And we read, Jesus said to them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing it was the Lord. Evidence of who he truly was. But the main point, the main reason, I think, why the Lord came to them in this particular occasion was simply this. Was to stimulate them and encourage them in their service and their witness for him in the days when he would not be with them. And we're going to just think of some of the things that was demonstrated to them. Number one, I thought, was something which is very, very simple, but very, very encouraging, I thought. He showed, on this occasion, that he cared for them. He showed that he cared for them. After the Lord was crucified, the disciples were confused and they were perplexed. Their faith was very, very weak. Sometimes our faith is weak as well. I find that anyhow. And they were very low in spirit and they were scattered. Interestingly, the Lord had actually warned them that this would actually happen. You remember after he and the disciples left the upper room and went into the Mount of Olives, the Lord Jesus said this to them, all ye shall be offended because of me, for it is written, and he's quoting from the Old Testament, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. Then he added, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And here is one of the occasions when the Lord Jesus met his disciples in Galilee. Verse 2, we are told that seven of the disciples they came together, and Peter, as usual, said to them, he says, "I go a-fishing." And off they went fishing. Now, and I have done this as well, we sometimes criticize the disciples for going fishing on this occasion. What I found was this, that it's very, very interesting. The Lord Jesus didn't. The Lord Jesus didn't criticize them for going fishing on this occasion. He said nothing against them. In fact, I thought he gave them a huge haul of fish. He actually encouraged them. You know, there's nothing a fisherman likes better than a huge haul of fish. Ask Alec that. And they had a huge haul of fish. And there they were. But that morning, they were to discover something far, far greater. They were to discover that the man on the shore was the Lord. And when their need was greatest, they were so far down, when their need was greatest, the Lord appeared on the shore in the morning. And that's just one simple lesson that I would like to get across to us all. When their need was greatest, the Lord appeared on the shore in the morning. You know, it's very encouraging for us, uncomforting lesson. So often, when our need is greatest, the Lord comes alongside to help. And that's what he did to the disciples on this particular occasion. But more, the Lord provided food. And he provided food for them. He lit a fire and he said to them, "Come and dine." And he served them. The Lord did that. The Lord did all of that. Verse 13, he came, took bread, gave it to them, and fish likewise. Many a time in the future, the disciples would experience difficulties in their work for the Lord. But they would be encouraged. They would be encouraged when they recalled the experience with him here on the Lake of Galilee. They would remember how much he cared for them. And that was going to be important for them in their service for him. And that's just a little lesson, a simple lesson, but a very, very important lesson, I think, that in the work of the Lord cares. Sometimes it doesn't go the way we would like it to go, but the Lord does care. A second thing that I thought about was interesting here is that the Lord showed his power to them. The Lord showed that he was in control. He was in control of the fish. Nobody would have known that there was a huge catch of fish there, but the Lord, he was in control of the fish. "Cast your net on the right side, and ye shall find." He was in no doubt about that. I've often wondered if the disciples were doubting. Well, they did it. They obeyed. They did it. They did it exactly as he said. And he said, "You shall find." And the result was, they weren't able to draw them for the multitude of fishes. And the net was full, and yet it was not broken. A great catch of fish, 153 of great fish. It tells us of the Lord's power and the Lord's bounty. And that was going to help them as well in the future. They knew that their ability was limited in what they could do, but they were working under the Lord's power. He was in control of the food as well, as we've already said. He supplied bread and fish before they brought their fish. What is interesting is that he did say to them after that, he says, "Bring up the fish. Bring up the fish that you've caught." The Lord wanted them to work with him. I thought that was good. Typical of the grace of the Lord Jesus. He says, "You bring your fish as well." He wants us to work with him. He was in control of life and death. He was in control of life and death. He told Peter what would happen to him at the end of his life. "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." So he was in control of life and death. And the disciples learned here a very, very important lesson, which was going to encourage them and support them in the future, that the Lord was in control. It is his work. And he was in control. The Lord also showed that he was concerned about their spiritual well-being. And a very interesting conversation took place between Peter and the Lord, and we all know this conversation, and it lasts for a number of verses, verses 15 down to verse 20. And in the first part of the conversation, the Lord asked Peter a very simple question. Three times he asked this question. Peter, he says, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" And that was an important question. You know, our reason for doing things for the Lord, is it because we love him? Do you love me, he says. And we all know that Peter gave an answer to the first couple of questions that the Lord asked. It wasn't exactly the same as the Lord had asked him. The Lord had asked something a bit like this: Peter, do you really love me? Are you really devoted to me? And we all know that Peter replied and said, "Yes, Lord, I love you. I love you." And that was as much as he was willing to say. You know, I think that the answer that Peter gave on this occasion was the one that the Lord wanted to hear. Peter was no longer boasting. Peter was no longer boasting about his commitment and his love to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I love you." No longer was Peter saying, as he once said, "I'll lay down my life for you. If all forsake you, I won't." So said Peter at one point. You know, over the last number of days, Peter had learned some big lessons. Peter had learned something about his own weakness and about his own failures and about his own shortcomings. And he was saying to the Lord, "Lord, you know everything." And he does. The Lord knew exactly what Peter was like. "Lord," he says, "you know everything. And Lord," he says, "I do know that you love me. I do love you." The Lord knew that Peter was now in a much better spiritual state than he'd ever been before. And I'm sure that this was one of the reasons. Peter was now characterized by humility and repentance. And the Lord gave him encouragement. The Lord just says to Peter, and he did it even after Peter's answer to his first question. He says, "Peter, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." He was encouraging Peter now in this particular occasion to go ahead and support and help the Lord's people. Years later, we know this, Peter exhorting the elders of his day, he said to them, "I am an elder." He says, "I was a witness of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus." He says to them, feed the flock of God among you. Take the oversight, he says. Do it willingly. Do it willingly. Don't be lords over the flock. Don't be lords over the flock. Peter would have loved to be a lord over the flock. Don't be lords over, but he's learned a lot. Be examples, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive a crown of glory that never fades. Near the end of the chapter, the Lord said something about personal relationships. About personal relationships. This part of the conversation arose after the Lord had spoken to Peter about how we would die. And Peter then asked, "What about John? What about John?" Typical Peter speaking out. The Lord more or less said to Peter on this particular occasion, he says, "Mind your own business. Mind your own business. What is that to thee? What is that to thee?" This was another example of Peter's personality coming to the forefront. And when I thought about this, I was just thinking that we all have different personalities. But the interesting thing, that the Lord can use his people, different people with different skills and different personalities, and he can use them in his service. Peter and John obviously had very, very different personalities. We can see that in this chapter. I was just looking through the Gospel of John, and John, John reports in his Gospel only three simple things that he said. In chapter 1, he said to the Lord, "Where dwellest thou?" That's all he said. In chapter 13, he said, "Lord, who is it?" Remember, the Lord told them somebody was going to betray him. He's concerned. "Lord, who is it?" And John said in this chapter, "It is the Lord." He had good perception. And Peter was different. Peter was different, as we all know. But although so different in character, these two men did a great deal of work together. These two men did a great deal of work together. We all know that Peter, James, and John, the Lord took the three of them on special occasions. And John and Peter visited the sepulchre together. And in the early part of the book of the Acts, these two men, they went to pray together. And they healed a man at the beautiful gate together. And Peter in prison, and Peter and John in prison, and they witnessed together. These two men with very, very different personalities, very different characters, they worked together. And that's an important lesson for us all, isn't it? We're all different. We're all different. Different person, different characteristics. But the Lord can use us. In the work of the Lord, we are different, but it is important in the service of the Lord simply to do this, as Peter and John did, to work together. We all know that one of the great successes in the early church was simply this, that they were with one accord. They were with one accord. The Apostle Paul, in some of his closing remarks to the Christians at Rome, He said this to them. He said, "Let us therefore follow after the things that make for peace and the things wherewith we may edify one another." Something else I think that is important when working together, and that is simply this, that it's important, I think, just to be ourselves, to be ourselves. As we've already said, with different skills, different strengths, different gifts, different weaknesses. But it is important in the work of the Lord not to try to be somebody else. The Lord has given each of us a work to do, a gift that is, and just to be ourselves. You know, Peter's personality over the years, it didn't change. Peter's personality didn't. It may have become refined a bit. He certainly learned by his experiences, but it did not change. But he was able to get on with his great friend, John. The Lord said to Peter on two occasions here, he said, "Follow me, follow me." And this was going to be the secret of the success of the disciples. They were going to follow him. It's interesting that when the Lord first met the fishermen, that's what he said to them, "Follow me." And we can never go wrong when we simply follow the Lord. Channels only, blessed Master, yet with all his wondrous power working through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. It's also important in the work of the Lord that we're all involved in it. We're all involved in it. That's one of the great truths of the body, isn't it? Every member is important. Every member is vital. And when each member of the body is working, then the body is healthy. Sometimes we think, and I was thinking a bit about myself and Eddie and others maybe here, we're a bit older than we used to be. And we can't do the things that we did when we were younger. And I thought of a poem, and with this poem I'll finish. There was a great poet way back in the 17th century. His name was John Milton. He wrote some great poetry, Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained. Must have been a great Christian. Well, but the middle age of his life, he became blind. And he wrote a poem on his blindness. And in the first part of the poem, he expressed his frustration that he was unable to do things that he once did. And he was quite frustrated about it. And he felt that he could serve the Lord much better if he still had his sight. But in the second part of that poem, he realized that God was in control. And this is what he wrote. Doth God exact day labor, light denied, I fondly ask? But patience, to prevent that murmur, soon replies, God doth not need either man's work or his own gifts. Who best bear his mild yoke, serve him best. His state is kingly. Thousands at his bidding speed, and post o'er land and ocean, without rest, they also serve, who only stand and wait. And all of us can, and all of us should be involved in the work of the Lord, however small we may think that work may be. Said the Lord to Peter on twice in this particular chapter, Peter, follow me. And we trust that that is just a little encouragement to all of us, simply to follow the Lord. And we can never go wrong when we follow him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee for the many things that we learn from the relationship that the Lord Jesus had with his disciples. And we take courage from that even today. We all feel that things today are very difficult, but the Lord is, thou art in control, and we are so grateful for this. And we pray that thou wilt bless thy word to us all, and bless thy people here as they've started once again in their hall. And we trust that they will be fruitful for thyself as they seek to continue in their work for thee. We remember that there are many who need our prayers, many who are not here, and we just commend them to thee and ask a blessing as we give thee our thanks in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen.